Welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you on a Tuesday morning. I just thought it was Wednesday. I panicked. Paulie hit the jukebox hero intro. I'm all messed up. All messed up. Standard. It's pretty standard. Just getting through it. But happy to be here with you guys. Happy to be here with my boys. Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
I am fantastic. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning. You're messed up a little mentally.
Yeah, well, I'm just tired.
You told me you didn't make it to the end of the game last night. That's rare for you.
It so is, man.
I'm a little messed up physically. I think I slept funny a few days ago. I got this, pinch right below my right shoulder blade in the back. Just like someone's stabbing a knife back there. It is, it's not debilitating. It's just very, very uncomfortable.
Is it muscular?
I can't tell if it's a nerve or it's a muscle, what it is. It's just, I just kind of gingerly move it around back there and doesn't seem to want to get better. So
I don't.
It's getting old.
You know it is, and
otherwise I feel pretty good actually.
My kids in school they do.
At least they said I pulled something with my high five.
That could be it.
That is right there. Yeah, right
when
there.
When you high five as inefficiently as you do, that's exactly what it could be. My kids both do yoga at school, so they'll bring them out. Oh, let's show you this and that, and they love it. It's fun, and I keep telling Bo like, hey man, the older you get, the harder it is. You need to stretch. And one lesson I never learned when I was, your coaches would be like, all right, you guys need to stretch, but nobody stretched you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the older I get, I'm like, man, yoga and like, yoga and like Pilates, I think would be really good, for every member of this show.
I've never done Pilates.
I haven't either. I've done yoga and it was really hard, but
Pilates.
Yes, Axel. Thank you.
Now, I mean, we do know where we could go if we needed.
What are the details on that?
Are there details on where we could go, Paulie?
Where would we possibly go?
Right now, today, we're offering you five classes for $50 at Club Pilates.
Okay. $10 a class.
San Diego's premier Pilates studio, Club Pilates, offers the most Pilates classes and reformer classes in San Diego. Conveniently located off Marina Boulevard, right in the heart of San Diego.
Okay. There you go. $50.
No one has ever said Pilates, like in that copy. Go to QC Kinetics. It's QC Kinetics for your QC Kinetics. It's QC Kinetics. It's Sedano Ford for Sedano Ford and in Sedano Ford, Sedano Ford. It's for Pilates in 3 seconds. Play it again. Listen to the Pilates count.
Right now, today, we're offering you five classes for $50 at Club Pilates. San Diego's premier Pilates studio, Club Pilates, offers the most Pilates classes and reformer classes in San Diego. Conveniently located off Marina Boulevard, right in the heart of San Diego.
Holy crap. Club Pilates at Pilates for Pilates and Pilates. Someone handed him that copy. Crap. Like, hey, this just came in. You got to read this.
And that was probably from the early days of Pilates.
Of Pilates.
I mean, who knows what this is?
It's Ben and Woods for Ben and Woods on Ben and Woods on the Fan. It's Ben and Woods. Just an incredible, incredible piece of audio. My wife says I can't even say it right. Pilates. I'm going to call it Pilates for the rest of my life. She says we wouldn't make it. But then they also said it strengthens your core. But my kids are doing yoga, and it's really important to like stretch our body. I just don't like to stretch. I don't really like it.
I love yoga.
Do they have those machines?
If
they attach you to a Pilates machine, do you have to do anything, or does the machine do all the work?
No, you have to do.
You still have to do
like,
stuff.
You have to pull your like fat ass up the thing. Yeah, I think I've walked by.
Like, they don't just push a button and it goes.
No, you're like, okay. I've walked by Club Pilates before in Encinitas and looked inside
Club Pilates
and gone, oh my God. And every person that ever does Pilates says, this sucks. Like, it's great, but it sucks. It's not fun. So maybe it's not for us. Yeah, somebody says, it's not plugged in.
Pilates?
You just get on the machine and it moves for you.
Like a shake weight or something?
Yeah, no, you even have to shake that. That'd be kind of cool, though. Yeah, they just strap you to a device. Yeah. Okay, turn it up to six today, and it just kills you.
You know, when you'd watch the Jetsons, that's how they'd work out. They'd just top in a machine, and it would just do it for them.
It's so good. Holy cow. Well, yeah, I did. I slept through, stayed up until it was 3-1. And it wasn't one of those things last night where I thought, oh, we got this one in hand.
It's a laugher.
I was still, you know, on the edge of my bed, I guess. But we had our T-ball party last night for the Bats is the name of our team. So we went to the pizza joint, and I did the superlatives for all the kids. And, man, I made it until the very end. And I saw one of the dads tear up, and then I started to tear up. And I did Bo's award last, so it made me tear up. I ended up giving him the biggest grinder award instead of the MVP because, you know, Hannah thought it wouldn't be fair. And I told him when I picked him up from school, I was going to give you the MVP. Your mom said no, but just so you know, you're my MVP. And
so who did get MVP?
Nobody. There's no MVP handed out. Apparently, you don't want to tell these kids they're most valuable. But I mean, he's a great player, but he does grind really hard. Grounders before the game, grounders after the game, hitting at home, grounders all the time. I've never seen a 6-year-old work as hard as he does. Really, honestly, like. It's pretty impressive. So I gave him that, and then I got to the end, and I saw the dad tear up, and then I teared up at the end. But I made it all the way. Usually I choke up for the first award, and I made it all the way through. I was very proud of myself, but I did, man. At the end, I was like, it got me. It was cool, man. It was. I love these kids. They're very special. So shout out to all the Bats, and I love being their coach. And
you going to do it again next year?
Well, now, so this is the issue. Not an issue, but this is what's going to happen. So you get one through T-ball, and you're like, oh, God, that was excruciating almost. It's hard. I mean, I've told you the story before of you're right next to the freeway with four-year-olds. They can't hear, and it's loud, and you're screaming at them to, like, pay attention and keep your head in the game. And I don't want you to get smoked with a ball and all that. Well, Taylor wants to play. And all the siblings of the kids I coach now, they all want to play. So now I will now coach all of the other ones and coach Bo's machine pitch next year. So I'm in it. And you can't be the dad that's like
picks one son over the other.
Like my dad did, right, with my brother. Yeah, you can't be that dad. My dad coached, I think he coached my team once, and he was like, I'm going to coach your brother because he actually has a future in this. So, yeah, does it sting at 48 years old? Yes, it absolutely does. So I'm going to have to go out and I have to do this all over again and now coach two teams. So that's what I will be doing for the foreseeable future. It's fine, but it was awesome, man. The parents are great. We have a good little crew, and I loved every second of it.
Had a nice meeting after the show yesterday as we continue to make prep for the Ben and Woods third annual Ish Chrome Tour Open coming up next Wednesday. And just want to shout out to Jersey Mike's, who has been added on as one of our donors. So we're going to have some Jersey Mike's sandwiches, I believe, available next week as well for all of our participants. This is the last 4 days you have to sign up. I'm told by Goat Hill we need to get all the names to them Friday, Saturday at the latest. So we're closing registration on Friday. There are just a few slots left. If you want to sign up, please do so now. You can do so as a foursome, twosome, individual. We'll put you together with other tier ones. If you want to play, we'd love to see you up there at Goat Hill Park next Wednesday for either the morning, 8 a.m. or afternoon, 1 p.m. shotgun for the third time we've done this. And I'm never going to promise that there's going to be a fourth or a fifth. So if you haven't done it yet, make sure you get in because this does require a bit of preparation to put together.
You know, I was thinking about it this morning. I saw a young lady post on Twitter, what do dads want for Father's Day? And I thought to myself, golf is always a great gift for Father's Day. And you could go buy a foursome for him and his buddies in the afternoon. The morning flight is almost full. So got a few slots left in the afternoon. That's a hell of a Father's Day gift. Hey, babe, I know you listen to Ben and Woods. Go on out. They're going to be drinking tequila and eating sandwiches and playing with the glory hole and all kinds of stuff. We got a heckle hole. It's going to be a really fun time. So decent Father's Day gift if you're looking for any last-minute ideas. It just makes sense, right? You get it bought today. You got to get it in by Friday because we do have to close it. And then it's next Wednesday, man, and we are rolling a week from tomorrow.
So hopefully, if you already have that day off, we have it off, so that's why we kind of picked it. But we'd love to see you out there at Goat Hill next Wednesday.
Going to have so much fun. So much fun. Got a lot of stuff planned. Got really killer prizes and adding to those raffle prizes every day. And it's been awesome, man. Lululemon's bringing some stuff for you guys to win. We've got booze. We've got Padres stuff. We got a suite. I mean, that's just the raffle alone.
A couple of cool Padres experiences, whether it's tickets from the Padres in their VIP seats or... You can sit in the Odyssey suite.
That's right.
For a game.
Yeah, with 19 of your closest friends.
By the way, if you're not a golfer but want to come and hang out, there's room at Goat Hill Park where you can come hang out, heckle people on the 10th hole.
Buy raffle tickets.
And then you can buy some raffle tickets and be eligible to win the same prizes, including the night in the suite. We got VIP tickets to the Padres game. We've got some unbelievable packages that we're going to be giving away. And you don't even have to play in the tournament to come buy raffle tickets. You do have to be there to buy raffle tickets, though. They're not available online
or
anything, though.
Satan's Blowfish wants to know, how many days off will the show have for the Ben Woods Open? So we picked next Wednesday because it's a company holiday. Mm-hmm. So that's why we picked it. So we're not taking any time off.
We
would have been off anyway. We're just happening to host a golf tournament on our day off. But
There good discussion about taking the next 2 days off to recover?
Correct.
There was, but at the moment we are planning to be here on Thursday and Friday.
I mean, depends.
Thursday's a big day. Round table.
Yeah, we have a round table. Yeah. Our big boss is in town too, so we have to be there for his 1 p.m. meeting, and
like the CEO of the company, the president of the company or something. Yeah,
like the annual, like, you cannot miss this.
Correct. Somebody will. People will.
The annual, please, Ben, don't fall asleep during the meeting.
If you fall asleep at this one, I'm not going to blame you, because we got, you know, it's going to be a long ass day on Wednesday. And depends on how much Maestro Nobel I suck down, if I'm being completely honest, if I make that meeting or not.
We're talking like a 12 to 14 hour day on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, easily.
Easily. Easily. Probably more.
Then we'll come
Thursday,
in, do a show, round table.
5 a.m., do a show, round table.
Round table. Meeting.
Over at 11.
Go sleep in my car for 2 hours.
Oh, man.
You got to go to work later.
Yeah, Mr. Odyssey himself, says Carlos. Jim Odyssey is going to be here.
That's right. Jim Odyssey. It's going to be great. And again, that meeting is at 1 p.m. So that'll be good. And should be a really fun next week. But would hope to see you guys out at the Ben Woods Open.
What's wrong with a convenient 4 a.m. staff meeting?
Exactly. Let's flip the script a little bit. Paulie posted the link in the chat. Put it on social media as well. We are closing shop on Friday, so get them in now. Great Father's Day gift.
All right, let's get going. We will set the menu when we come back. Padres talk on the way after a 6-1 win over the Oakland Athletics last night at Petco Park, with some interesting happenings during the game, including the lights going out at Petco Park.
Now,
later
it.
In the game, we'll talk about all of it coming up next with Ben and Woods after our first check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Guess what? The Padres are at 500.
Shocker.
They are. There's a magnet right around 500. Keeps drawing them back in. They get a couple of games over. Sucks them right back. They fall a couple of games under. Sucks them right back to 500.
Tractor beam. Suck me right in. Every time. Every time.
Can they escape with the next couple of days against the Oakland A's in town? We'll find out. We'll talk about the Padres with their Padres wrap-up coming up here at the bottom of the hour after the 6-1 win over the Oakland A's last night. It is a fairly usual Tuesday show, which usually means a good one today. Coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, do want to talk a little bit. I heard Tony Gwynn Jr. just going off yesterday about Dan Hurley deciding not to coach the Los Angeles Lakers. He was a lover scorned yesterday.
You know, I guess City of Champions and the Los Angeles Lakers, I guess it's just not what it used to be, and it hurts. You know, I don't see what I saw in my 20s when I look in the mirror anymore, and I have to be okay with that. I can't lament what I used to be, right? And listen, when you're the Los Angeles Lakers and you get turned down by a college basketball coach that you were willing to make like the fifth highest paid coach, it's got to hurt.
second time because it was Mike Krzyzewski who turned the Lakers down 20 years ago on a similarly lucrative offer to remain at Duke University.
Well, and it always looks terrible too for the next guy who's like, I'm happy to be here. I know what he was offered. I didn't get that. I didn't get who's the other guy? Duggar.
Or James Borrego, has been interviewed. JJ Redick, obviously, has been rumored, but who knows who they'll end up going with.
That is a very, very tough scene.
Tony was not too pleased, though.
I did not hear it. Here's what's funny. I almost tweeted that exact thing. I guess it's not what it used to be. I didn't want his wrath, Tony, because he's a huge Lakers fan. And I figured... you're a Lakers fan. I don't care about your wrath. But his I did not want. I want him to like...
F you!
I want to be the guy on our show that he actually likes.
I almost wanted Dan Hurley to take the job more to get him away from UConn to stop beating San Diego State.
Yeah, fair enough. It's the
NCAA tournament every year.
It's a bad cycle all around.
What's the opposite of the kiss of death? Like, if San Diego State and UConn have any... scheduled matchups or play each other in the tournament, you can rest assured UConn's going to go on and win the whole thing.
That's correct.
3 for 3.
Yeah, if they're going to be in it and you're in it, you know it's not going to bode well for them.
Yeah, the Aztecs are the Huskies' lucky charm. You see them in the bracket, and all of a sudden, it's our year, boys.
Bro, I saw people tweeting yesterday, like, Laker fans that were just going through it. They're like, we lost out to Stores, Connecticut. Like, you'd rather stay in Stores, Connecticut than come to L.A. and
get a membership at, like, Bel Air.
Oh, bro, the perks there. I mean, you saw Lincoln Riley's house in L.A. It's ridiculous.
That was USC.
That's USC.
Lakers.
That's the Lakers. That's Jeannie Buss. You know, it's pretty interesting. Obviously, you know, he I don't know that he ever wanted to go, but you do want to use that drive that leverage up.
Did he play the Lakers all along? We'll talk about that a little bit at 7 o'clock. Take on Woods. Got a great prize this month. Already had a winner yesterday to qualify for a trip to the Fontainebleau and concert tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or, if you'd rather, the Smashing Pumpkins. You get your choice on that prize.
What would you pick, by the way?
I'd pick Smashing Pumpkins.
You would?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Oh.
Over Hootie?
Oh, yeah.
You're lying through your teeth.
100%.
Really?
Yeah.
Ben's just out there at Fontainebleau. You and me. We come from different worlds.
I'm blown away.
I actually like the Smashing Pumpkins quite a bit.
More than Hootie and the Blue?
I would have guessed he could have named two songs.
6 years. I did not know that.
I mean, I can't name more than two songs.
But you know
when
you
hear 1979 a lot.
1979
is
a good one. Today.
Today is
the greatest.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. And the Hootie's signature song annoys me.
Hold My Hand.
And the other one, I Want to Be With You.
Oh, yeah, terrible.
I don't like that one at all.
Terrible.
Sorry.
Well, good for you, man. Got much cooler.
Good, I'm glad. That's a do this for Ben. We'll have Don't Do This coming up at 7:20 featuring one Buster Olney. Had a tough day yesterday. I want to say no fault of his own, but, I mean, it might have been his own fault. If his password is like ESPN123.
It's Trade Tatis 69 was
then,
his password.
Then maybe it was his fault as he got hacked yesterday on X, and someone had a lot of fun at Buster's expense yesterday. So get to that and Don't Do This. More Padres talk going into our second half of our program when Jesse Agler will join us at 8:35, the voice of the Padres. Little incorporator, if you want to start thinking of your vocabulary words, please join us in our YouTube chat. Leave your word, your suggestion for Jesse to incorporate into tonight's broadcast, and we'll have that coming up for you at 8:35. Paulie's got a Rindle report in our 9 o'clock hour, and then got another game to look forward to tonight as the Padres continue second-to-last game of their homestand as they host the Oakland A's. Randy Vasquez, J.P. Sears, 6:40 tonight. So we'll get you ready for that one, and that's pretty much the menu for today.
I like it, man. Let's get it.
You're good to go?
I'm good to go.
You want to just get started?
Let's get started.
All right, let's just take a break then, and we'll come back, and we can talk about last night's game. Everything that happened at Petco Park last night with our Padres wrap-up, we will get to that coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You seem a little angsty for you. You're not a real angsty guy. Smashing Pumpkins.
But sometimes I like listening to angsty music to make up for the fact that I don't have a ton of angst myself.
Wishing that maybe you were a touch more angsty.
You got to find the angst in your life somewhere.
You
filled a nice void for me in angst that I think I was missing for many years, and now I can live vicariously through your angst.
Oh, my God, I'm full of angst.
I like this song.
Yeah, of course. Pumpkins are great. A great band. I'm proud of you. I'm very impressed.
That blew my mind.
It was like I gave him an option that I thought I knew the answer to, and it's always nice when you can be surprised by your friend and radio soulmate.
Yeah, not particularly close. Pumpkins over Hootie.
It's amazing. I'm blown away.
Well, your chance to win either coming up at the top of the hour and take on Woods. But right now we're going to talk some Padres baseball or Padres wrap-up coming up.
Finally.
Right after a check of traffic.
The winning montage.
That's right. It's been
weeks. It's been 3 weeks.
Weeks since we've gotten to hear the winning montage. And we will right after Kelly's traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
This pitch hit in the air high and deep to right center. Long run, Fernando. Long run, Merrill. They're at the wall looking up, and it's going to go. Long home run to right center field for Soderstrom. That is his second of the year. And, boy, he put one out where we don't see many go. The A's take a 1-0 lead in the second. Ooh, 2-0 hit in the air to very deep right field. Cronenworth way back and gone. A home run to tie it 1-1 here in the bottom of the third inning, his 10th of the year. Here's the 1-0. Kim swings. It's a liner to left, pretty much at and Duhar, and it goes over his head. Merrill's going to round third, come in to score. Kim on his way to second, the throw and the tag, and he's out. I think Duhar just kind of hesitated as that ball came right at him. Needed to go back just a little bit. Next thing you know, it rocketed over his head. But the A's catch a little bit of a break there as Kim is thrown out at second base. But the Padres do lead for the first time tonight. It's 2-1. 1-1. Estes delivers. Hit in the air to right deep. Cameron twisting around. Looking up. This one. Gonna go! Off the top of the wall and right. And shooting up over the home run deck. Another home run for Fernando. It is 12th of the year yesterday. This is number 13. And that is a 16-game hitting streak. And that is a 3-1 Padre lead. Merrill swings, lines it into center field, and a base hit. Cronenworth has scored. Manny will be held at third base. He's got the bad hip. RBI single, Jackson Merrill is third hit of the night, and the Padre lead is 5-1. Here's the 0-2, swing and a miss. Blew him away with a fastball at 101. And Suarez strikes out this side, 1-2-3 in the top of the ninth inning, as the Padres have a workmanlike 6-1 victory over the Oakland A's in Game 1 of this series.
I feel like we talked about it, you know, that sweet spot. Combination of things, you know, base hits, walks, homers. And that's what, you know, a holistic offensive machine looks like. So it's take what the game gives you, and that's what we're doing. Great at bats throughout. Guys have the right kind of focus, intent, and the execution's been really good.
Excellent win. Excellent, excellent win.
A feel-good night at the ballpark, starting with the return of Manny Machado to the lineup as the designated hitter. Certainly wasn't 100%. You could tell that running was not on the menu necessarily for Manny Machado. He is enough to get to first base and second base when he needed, but no extra bases taken. It's going to be station to station for a while, I would imagine, for Manny Machado. But he got two hits, and it was good to see him back in there. Obviously, the notable hit was once again Fernando Tatis Jr. there, extending his hitting streak to a career best 16 games with that solo home run, his 13th of the season in the fifth inning. So, yeah, 2 days ago, he hit a 93-mile-an-hour fastball that was right on the outside corner, over 400 feet to center field for a home run. The one he hit yesterday, It wasn't even on the outside corner. It was about 6 inches off the plate outside, went the other way with it. And it's the first time that Tatis has hit an opposite field home run like that since last September. Now, if that's not a really, really excellent sign for Tatis, I don't know what is. That is vintage, classic, pre-suspension, pre-injury Fernando Tatis Jr. going the other way right there.
It's good to see him feeling it again. You know, watching Fernando Tatis Jr. when he is at his best, I can't think of another player I'd rather watch when they're locked in, honestly. Like, he is electric on all sides, in all facets of the game. And, you know, we've seen some flashes of it defensively this year. Well, we've also seen some not great defense from him this year. We've seen some barrels that didn't, you know, get out. We've seen some barrels at, right at people. But to watch him on this this hot streak that he's on right now reminds you of the kind of talent that he is. And, again, yeah, I don't know if it's bits or whatnot, but, I mean, I legit saw a good portion of our audience and the Twitter family writing that kid off. You know, he's never going to get back, the surgery, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's in him, you know, and if you're not sold yet after what you've seen, I have a feeling good things are going to continue to come for him, man, because he's so confident right now at the plate. And again, like you said, when you're hitting pitches off the outer third out, and you're hitting balls over 400 feet to dead center that are a little bit away as well, it's a really good sign for him. Just got to keep it going, man. You need his contribution, certainly. And I love what I've seen from him, man, this last couple weeks.
Jake also went deep, double digits. Ooh. For him, 10th of the season.
Center and, cut, man. My lord.
The Padres' power has magically returned over the last 5 days, in which they've hit 10 home runs compared to the previous 18 games before that when they hit 8 home runs.
Crazy.
So that's quite the 180 that they've done from being a nothing but kind of singles Punch and Judy team to all of a sudden the power is back. But they haven't really given up the base hits either, which is what Mike Schilt was talking about in those post-game comments. He says the holistic approach, where,
yes,
you need to combine. Yeah, we like stringing hits together, but you also need some walks and you need home runs from time to time to really have a full-powered offense. And we have seen that in at least 3 of the last 4 days when the Padres have put together fairly convincing victories.
If you told me before the game yesterday, hey, your table setter, your leadoff hitter, Luis Arraez, is going to go 0 for 5, how do you think you'll do tonight? I would say probably not great. But he, you know, listen, the team picked him up. He's not hitting all that well at Petco Park. I was texting with some buddies about it last night, and it's a bit confounding, Benny. His OPS split on the road is 934 in away games, 598 at home. He's batting 246 with a 541 OPS at home. When he was in Miami, he was hitting 272 with a 678 OPS. He generally hits better on the road, at least from his last two places that he's played. But so, you know, Petco Park remains a bit of a mystery in that. I know the power surge has come back the last few games, but we remember the beginning of the season. We couldn't get one out, and a lot of other teams were holding us back from hitting home runs. Now you're taking singles away from us as well. How do you construct a team that is perfect for Petco Park? I really don't know.
Well, what is Petco Park? Petco Park historically has been one of the hardest places to hit home runs.
Yep.
In baseball, except for this year when it's all of a sudden become one of the easiest places to hit home runs. Mike Schilt was asked about it after the game. He doesn't really know,
yeah,
why.
Weird, right?
Why the ball is flying. At first, it was for the opposing team.
Correct.
Now the Padres are jumping in as well. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. Home runs aren't up anywhere else. Just at Petco Park.
Explain it.
There's no new buildings.
Wind pattern hasn't changed.
Did they change the humidor that they store the balls in at Petco Park? What is different about Petco Park this year compared to the first 19 years of the ballpark's existence? They didn't bring the fences in.
No, but
nothing explains this right now.
In Arraez's case, you're a singles and doubles hitter. Should be a pretty decent place to hit singles and doubles.
Jackson Merrill's the same way, though. His splits are very extreme. Better on the road versus at home, although yesterday, 3 for 4,
yep,
and looks like he's getting more comfortable at the plate at Petco Park. His average is up to 281. He's been driving the ball with even more authority lately, and it looks like he's kind of settling in. This is the first Major League Baseball season, obviously, for Jackson Merrill. Even the minor league seasons, quite a bit shorter, quite a bit less grueling and grinding. You know, in a minor league season at this point, you're already more than halfway done and looking toward the home stretch. 70 games, you're not even at the midway point. It's a long year, and that is one of the hardest adjustments for rookies to make. And he and Tatis have said some of the similar things about their offense, that they were doing good things early in the season, but then when they weren't seeing results, they started changing to try to get results. And then they both realized, I can't be results-driven. I have to be process-oriented. And went back to what they were doing.
As hard as it is.
Even though it wasn't working, and now it is working for both of those guys right now, just by staying within themselves and trying to be the best version of themselves, even though, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work because it's baseball, and you hit it, balls right at people, and you're not getting the kind of results, you're not getting the kind of lift sometimes, but ultimately, they both kind of realize that being themselves is what is ultimately going to lead to the most success.
Yeah, I was looking at Crony's numbers, too. Crony is one of the few guys that actually hits better at Petco Park than on the road. He's very comfortable here. It's not a stark difference, but it is a difference. He is a better hitter at Petco Park than he is away from Petco Park. But like you said, before last night, I mean, Merrill was dying at home. And now, he, you know, seems to be getting it locked in a little bit more. Just huge nights from those guys. Dylan Cease, again, it's weird because I'm watching him throw last night, and it's like
he was all right. I mean,
like, but the stuff, I don't know what it was. They were getting good. They were getting some barrels on some balls early, but he's so good. He's pitching out of jams and getting that K. There, I still saw the Blake Snell comparison on Twitter last night. I still really don't see it.
But he only walked one.
Walked
and
one guy late. Yeah, like
Cease feels like the ultimate settle in or
get it. Yeah.
He struggles in those first inning or two sometimes, man. But then, God, once he settles in,
he's able to kind of tighten it up and was really good. I mean, really, really good outing from him.
Eight hits is a lot for Dylan Cease.
It is.
But
against the A's. Yeah.
But the A's, and we talked to Mark Kotze yesterday, and they mentioned it on the broadcast. They are fourth in the AL and fifth in baseball in home runs. They're going to run into one every once in a while, and they got the home run from Tyler Soderstrom in the second inning, another early home run surrendered by Dylan Cease. But they strike out a ton. They struck out 16 times yesterday, 8 against Cease, 8 against the bullpen. It's hard to complete a rally. Even if you get some hits, if you're having that many strikeouts, you're just not moving the runners over enough, and you're just relying on we need one with the runners in scoring position. They didn't get it last night, and that ended up being the difference in the game. So Cease was fine. He's kind of alternating the wins and the losses, and back to the wins. A couple of just negative notes. Are you ready to move on?
No, Ryan tweeted in and said, "Is it the batter's eye?" I mean, look, they had a batter's eye. They changed the batter's eye to the Ivy. Seem a little angsty for you. You're not a real angsty guy.
True.
Smashing Pumpkins.
But sometimes I like listening to angsty music to make up for the fact that I don't have a ton of angst myself.
Wishing that maybe you were a touch more angsty.
You gotta find the angst in your life somewhere.
You
filled a nice void for me and angst that I think I was missing for many years, and now I can live vicariously through your angst.
Oh my God, I'm full of angst.
I like this song.
Yeah, of course. Pumpkins are great. A great band. I'm proud of you. I'm very impressed.
That blew my mind.
It was like I gave him an option that I thought I knew the answer to, and it's always nice when you can be surprised by your friend and radio soulmate.
Yeah, not particularly close. Pumpkins over Hootie.
It's amazing. I'm blown away. I'm truly
blown
away.
Your chance to win either coming up at the top of the hour and take on Woods. But right now we're going to talk some Padres baseball or Padres wrap-up coming up.
Finally.
Right after a check of traffic.
The winning montage.
That's right. It's been
weeks. It's been 3 weeks.
Weeks since we've gotten to hear the winning montage, and we will right after Kelly's traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
This pitch hit in the air high and deep to right center. Long run, Fernando. Long run, Merrill. They're at the wall looking up, and it's going to go. Long home run to right center field for Soderstrom. That is his second of the year. And, boy, he put one out where we don't see many go. The A's take a 1-0 lead in the second. Ooh, 2-0 hit in the air to very deep right field. Cronenworth way back and gone. A home run to tie it 1-1 here in the bottom of the third inning, his 10th of the year. Here's the 1-0. Kim swings. It's a liner to left, pretty much at and Duhar, and it goes over his head. Merrill's going to round third, come in to score. Kim on his way to second, the throw and the tag, and he's out. I think Duhar just kind of hesitated as that ball came right at him. Needed to go back just a little bit. Next thing you know, it rocketed over his head. But the A's catch a little bit of a break there as Kim is thrown out at second base. But the Padres do lead for the first time tonight. It's 2-1. 1-1. Estes delivers. Hit in the air to right deep. Cameron twisting around. Looking up. This one. Gonna go! Off the top of the wall and right. And shooting up over the home run deck. Another home run for Fernando. It is 12th of the year yesterday. This is number 13. And that is a 16-game hitting streak. And that is a 3-1 Padre lead. Merrill swings, lines it into center field, and a base hit. Cronenworth has scored. Manny will be held at third base. He's got the bad hip. RBI single, Jackson Merrill, his third hit of the night. And the Padre lead is 5-1. Here's the 0-2. Swing and a miss. Blew him away with a fastball at 101. And Suarez strikes out this side 1-2-3 in the top of the ninth inning as the Padres have a workmanlike 6-1 victory over the Oakland A's in game one of this series.
I feel like we talked about it, you know, that sweet spot. Combination of things, you know, base hits, walks, homers. And that's what, you know, a holistic offensive machine looks like. So it's take what the game gives you, and that's what we're doing. Great at bats throughout. Guys have the right kind of focus, intent, and the execution's been really good.
Excellent win. Excellent, excellent win.
A feel-good night at the ballpark, starting with the return of Manny Machado to the lineup as the designated hitter. Certainly wasn't 100%. You could tell that running was not on the menu necessarily for Manny Machado. He is enough to get to first base and second base when he needed, but no extra bases taken. It's going to be station to station for a while, I would imagine, for Manny Machado. But he got two hits, and it was good to see him back in there. Obviously, the notable hit was once again Fernando Tatis Jr. there, extending his hitting streak to a career best 16 games with that solo home run, his 13th of the season in the fifth inning. So, yeah, 2 days ago, he hit a 93-mile-an-hour fastball that was right on the outside corner, over 400 feet to center field for a home run. The one he hit yesterday wasn't even on the outside corner. It was about 6 inches off the plate outside, went the other way with it, and it's the first time that Tatis has hit an opposite field home run like that since last September. Now, if that's not a really, really excellent sign for Tatis, I don't know what is. That is vintage, classic, pre-suspension, pre-injury Fernando Tatis Jr. going the other way right there.
It's good to see him feeling it again. You know, watching Fernando Tatis Jr. when he is at his best, I can't think of another player I'd rather watch when they're locked in, honestly. Like, he is electric on all sides, in all facets of the game. And, you know, we've seen some flashes of it defensively this year. Well, we've also seen some not great defense from him this year. We've seen some barrels that didn't, you know, get out. We've seen some barrels at right at people. But to watch him on this this hot streak that he's on right now reminds you of the kind of talent that he is. And, again, yeah, I don't know if it's bits or whatnot, but, I mean, I legit saw a good portion of our audience and the Twitter family writing that kid off. You know, he's never going to get back, the surgery, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's in him, you know, and if you're not sold yet after what you've seen, I have a feeling good things are going to continue to come for him, man, because he's so confident right now at the plate. And again, like you said, when you're hitting pitches off the outer third, out and you're hitting balls over 400 feet to dead center that are a little bit away as well. It's a really good sign for him. Just got to keep it going, man. You need his contribution, certainly. And I love what I've seen from him, man, this last couple weeks.
Jake also went deep, double digits for him, 10th of the season.
Center and, cut, man. My lord.
The Padres' power has magically returned over the last 5 days, in which they've hit 10 home runs compared to the previous 18 games before that when they hit 8 home runs.
Crazy.
So that's quite the 180 that they've done from being a nothing but kind of singles Punch and Judy team to all of a sudden the power is back, but they haven't really given up the base hits either, which is what Mike Schilt was talking about in those post-game comments. He says the holistic approach, where
yes,
you need to combine, yeah, we like stringing hits together, but you also need some walks and you need home runs from time to time to really have a full-powered offense, and we have seen that in at least three of the last 4 days when the Padres have put together fairly convincing victories.
If you told me before the game yesterday, hey, your table setter, your leadoff hitter, Luis Arraez, is going to go 0 for 5, how do you think you'll do tonight? I would say probably not great. But he, you know, listen, the team picked him up. He's not hitting all that well at Petco Park. I was texting with some buddies about it last night, and it's a bit confounding, Benny. His OPS split on the road is 934 in away games, 598 at home. He's batting 246 with a 541 OPS at home. When he was in Miami, he was hitting 272 with a 678 OPS. He generally hits better on the road, at least from his last two places that he's played. But so, you know, Petco Park remains a bit of a mystery in that. I know the power surge has come back the last few games, but we remember the beginning of the season. We couldn't get one out, and a lot of other teams were holding us back from hitting home runs. Now you're taking singles away from us as well. How do you construct a team that is perfect for Petco Park? I really don't know.
Well, what is Petco Park? Petco Park historically has been one of the hardest places to hit home runs.
Yep.
In baseball, except for this year when it's all of a sudden become one of the easiest places to hit home runs. Mike Schilt was asked about it after the game. He doesn't really know why.
Weird, right?
Why the ball is flying. At first, it was for the opposing team.
Correct.
Now the Padres are jumping in as well. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. Home runs aren't up anywhere else. Just at Petco Park.
Explain it.
There's no new buildings.
Wind pattern hasn't changed.
Did they change the humidor that they store the balls in at Petco Park? What is different about Petco Park this year compared to the first 19 years of the ballpark's existence? They didn't bring the fences in.
No, but
nothing explains this right now.
In Arraez's case, you're a singles and doubles hitter. Should be a pretty decent place to hit singles and doubles.
Jackson Merrill's the same way though. His splits are very extreme. Better on the road versus at home, although yesterday, 3 for 4,
yep,
and looks like he's getting more comfortable at the plate at Petco Park. His average is up to 281. He's been driving the ball with even more authority lately, and it looks like he's kind of settling in. This is the first Major League Baseball season, obviously, for Jackson Merrill. Even the minor league seasons, quite a bit shorter, quite a bit less grueling and grinding. In a minor league season at this point, you're already more than halfway done and looking toward the home stretch. 70 games, you're not even at the midway point. It's a long year, and that is one of the hardest adjustments for rookies to make. And he and Tatis have said some of the similar things about their offense, that they were doing good things early in the season, but then when they weren't seeing results, they started changing,
yep,
to try to get results. And then they both realized, I can't be results driven. I have to be process oriented, and went back to what they were doing.
As hard as it is,
even though it wasn't working, and now it is working for both of those guys right now, just by staying within themselves and trying to be the best version of themselves. Even though, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work because it's baseball, and you hit balls right at people, and you're not getting the kind of results, you're not getting the kind of lift sometimes. But ultimately, they both kind of realized that being themselves is what is ultimately going to lead to the most success.
Yeah, I was looking at Crony's numbers, too. Crony is one of the few guys that actually hits better at Petco Park than on the road. He's very comfortable here. It's not a stark difference, but it is a difference. He is a better hitter at Petco Park than he is away from Petco Park. But like you said, before last night, I mean, Merrill was dying at home. And now he, you know, seems to be getting it locked in a little bit more. Just huge nights from those guys. Dylan Cease, again, it's weird because I'm watching him throw last night. And it's like,
he was all right. I mean,
like, but the stuff, I don't know what it was. They were getting good. They were getting some barrels on some balls early, but he's so good. He's pitching out of jams and getting that K. There, I still saw the Blake Snell comparison on Twitter last night. I still really don't see it.
But he only walked one.
Walked
and it
one
was late.
Guy yeah. late. Yeah, like.
Cease feels like the ultimate settle in-er.
Yeah.
He struggles in those first inning or two sometimes, man. But then, God, once he settles in,
he's able to kind of tighten it up and was really good. I mean, really, really good outing from him.
Eight hits is a lot for Dylan Cease.
It is.
But
against the A's. Yeah.
But the A's, and we talked to Mark Kotze yesterday, and they mentioned it on the broadcast. They are fourth in the AL and fifth in baseball in home runs. They're going to run into one every once in a while, and they got the home run from Tyler Soderstrom in the second inning, another early home run surrendered by Dylan Cease. But they strike out a ton. They struck out 16 times yesterday, 8 against Cease, 8 against the bullpen. It's hard to complete a rally. Even if you get some hits, if you're having that many strikeouts, you're just not moving the runners over enough, and you're just relying on we need one with the runners in scoring position. They didn't get it last night, and that ended up being the difference in the game. So Cease was fine. He's kind of alternating the wins and the losses, and back to the wins. A couple of just negative notes. Are you ready to move on?
No, Ryan tweeted in and said, "Is it the batter's eye?" I mean, look, they had a batter's eye. They changed the batter's eye to the ivy. And then they took the ivy down because that sucked, and so now they're back to just the regular batter's eye. There's no explanation for why Luis.
But it's not like the pre-ivy numbers were anything like this,
right.
Home run wise.
Well, and again, I'm really just talking Luis Arraez. Like I'm talking Luis Arraez. Why can't you hit it? Why he can? Why do you hit better? And maybe it's just a bit too small of a sample size or whatever because he hasn't been here that long.
But the
numbers are pretty stark.
You mentioned something you saw about left field.
Yeah.
And being
a little more shallow, you can rob some hits there.
And I do think with the left-handed guys, and you see this with Arraez, and you see them, they go the other way. They don't have the power to go the other way for a home run. But it's harder to bloop balls in because it's not that deep of a field.
Yeah.
Whatever, the marine layer, whatever, for lefties, it's just not a power go the other way kind of park. Soto could do it, but very few can. So it takes away some of your options.
Back up the left field fences a little bit.
Back them up, maybe.
A little bit.
Possibly, yeah.
2 feet, 3 feet, whatever.
Well, I don't think they're going to. I mean, that's a lot of construction to do. You're not going to do it right now.
Seems easier said than done.
Adjustable fences. Has anyone ever thought about that?
Yeah, little leagues. 100%. They exist.
Okay, I'm not going to belabor the negative points. Another base running blunder by Ha-Sung Kim. Those have got to stop.
I disagreed at first, and then I saw the replay of him admiring it, and I went, come on, man.
I will say there's some room for interpretation on what happened on his go-ahead RBI single off the wall that made it 2-1 in the fourth inning. He absolutely roped a ball. It was like 106.6 miles per hour. But it looked like it was going right at Andujar, the left fielder.
So maybe he thought he was.
And I thought he had just lined out and was like, oh, dang, I lined out.
I thought he had it.
I don't think he thought. There's no way he could have thought that was a home run. It was so low.
He hit it so hard.
He hit it so hard, but it was on a line. It never had the height to be a home run. I can't imagine that he thought that it was going out, no matter how hard he hit that.
I think
he thought it was going to be caught.
Maybe he thought it was a line out.
I think that was more likely. Whatever was going through his head, he took two or three beats before really taking off.
Yep.
And because it was hit so hard and came off the wall quickly, when he tried to stretch it into a double, he was thrown out by a large, large margin.
I'll tell you this, though. Nobody wants to hit one off the wall and end up at first base. You just don't. It's a pride thing. You know what I mean? You don't want to have the longest single of the night. But
the guys who do that are the guys who hit it the absolute hardest as well.
Correct. Yeah. So it was, it is what it is. Didn't come back to hurt us.
And Shohei had a couple of those.
Yeah, they just absolutely smoked it so hard. I can't go anywhere.
They played it perfectly.
Right.
You're playing deep already because they're good hitters, and then they smoke one hard off the wall they can't make it to second.
That's kind of that aggressive base running that doesn't necessarily. Now, Benny, If he sees it out of the box as a hit and he's running hard to second and Andujar bobbles it and he tries to go to third with the play right in front of him, that's the one where I'm like, you're already trying to get in scoring position. Doesn't make me insane. It really doesn't. It did not come back to hurt us. Our, you know, Adam was like, well, he would have scored on the next
Luis Camposano had a ground rule double.
Baseball doesn't work that way. You know that. He's in the stretch versus the windup. He's, you know, whatever. Like, it just, actually, he'd still be in the stretch, but the pitch selection's different. You just never know. You can't forecast the next result. But no, it didn't kill us. Swiped a bag later, you know, got that bag back. I wasn't terribly upset with that one.
The other thing that I saw some complaints about, but I disagree on this one, is that some fans question the usage of Robert Suarez.
I disagree too.
In a non-save situation. He hadn't pitched since the previous Saturday in Kansas City.
He got to get some work.
At some point, you do have to get him in. I understand. I know how this works. Padres will need him now like 3 days in a row.
Correct.
And he won't be available.
Correct.
Because
you know that
he pitched. But had he not pitched today, then they wouldn't have needed him for another 2 days. And you go, oh, I wish we had gotten him in that game when we had the lead.
Well,
there's just no way to know the future. And at some point, you just have to use players. You can't leave your best players unused for a week and a half at a time.
Well, especially when you've used the hell out of your other guys. And I mean, he was your freshest arm by far. And I understand the need. Now, having Estrada come in for one pitch, if you need somebody to close in 2 days, he can do that potentially. So I understand that. He probably didn't want to use him, but he's I got to get this dude some work. He got to stay sharp.
He
threw 15 pitches,
yeah,
right?
He mentioned that Suarez, you know, he'd gotten hot a couple of times in the interim between his appearances that was close to an appearance, like all the way ready to get in. But it's not the same. You have to get him into the game at some point.
Yep.
You just can't. You can't wait 2 weeks. It could end up being 2 weeks if the Padres, you know, have another big win. They don't have an off day until next Thursday, or they have one on Monday. No, they have one this Thursday, right? Yeah,
are they off this Thursday?
Yeah, they're off this Thursday. So. Yeah. If they needed him 2 days in a row now, you know you
they're
got
off Thursday, but then they're not off again for two
but
Thursdays.
But if it came down to it, and you absolutely needed Robert Suarez tonight and tomorrow,
I think you can do it.
You know you have the off day on Thursday.
Yep.
So I'm okay with Suarez going
gotta
into the
get him some work.
All right, that's some thoughts on the San Diego Padres. We'll come back.
That's 101, cuz.
Danny Hurley rejects the Lakers. Take on Woods coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.